Is it working? It doesn't sound like it's working. There's no testing.
Testing, testing.
Testing, testing. Mic. Two.
My throat needs to cooperate with me today. All right. Welcome, welcome back to another wonderful episode of Down and Dirty. I hope you guys have had a great week so far. We have had a great week. Of course, I am here with another guest. But before I introduce my guest, I just want to say something. Lately, I have been planning out the plans for this podcast. And I just want to remind everyone listening that the people that you are meeting are people in my life that are very influential, very significant people to my life. So they're people that I learn from every day, and they're just a part of me. And I feel like that's very important to know because this is season one of this podcast. So you're not just meeting any people, you're meeting my people. And today on my people, I have one of my people. And I'm going to have her introduce herself, okay? If you could please tell us who you are, where are you from, and how are you feeling today?
Hi, guys. I'm Casey.
Casey.
And do you want to know where I grew up or, like, my nationality?
It could just be the state, and if you want to see your nationality, then that's fine, too.
I'm a Salvadorian girl from New Jersey.
Okay?
You heard.
Ask her about them pupusas and where they at.
I'll take you guys there. And I'm feeling a little nervous. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
I have no idea what to expect. And I don't know. I've never done this before. So it's kind of weird, but kind of cool. And I'm looking forward to whatever the hell you're going to ask.
Okay. Sounds good. Nerves are good. Everyone's always a little nervous, and that's fine. You know, it's a little more formal when you feel as though you're doing something that just requires, like, a great performance. You know, you think twice before everything. But I always remind my friends that it's just a conversation. You know, we're here talking, and yeah, we have mics in our hands, but it's fine. Like, I don't think there's a perfect way to talk, so we're just gonna talk.
All right, I love doing that.
So to begin, I would just like to say that Casey, to me, is somebody that I met, honestly, recently. I think I've known her for a while. I probably have known her for the last 2 years of my life. But I didn't grow a relationship with her until this past summer. And I met her when I was working at the restaurant that we spoke about last episode. And when I met her, I always knew low-key. that, you know, it would be a great friendship that would come into my life. And it has been. It's been wonderful. I think that she is someone who's very tough. She is kind of like a super tough girl when you first meet her, but she is the sweetest, most caring, most present person that you will find in your life. So, yeah, she's a fun gal, and I am honored to have her here tonight.
I feel super honored. Wow. Spoke so great about me. Sheesh.
Yeah, that's literally how I've analyzed you. So that being said, I want to talk about you. And the first question tonight is going to be, where do you think that your toughness and your work ethic comes from?
My toughness just comes from being the youngest out of three. My siblings hated me growing up. They bullied the crap out of me.
The youngest
they never
out of three.
Wanted to play with me, and I had to act like that it was all cool. Like, fine, you don't want to play with me, I'll play by myself. You know? Just, you know, living and growing up in a Hispanic household, I feel like just being Hispanic sometimes just, like, makes you a little tough.
Tough skin.
Yeah, I had a really strict dad. He was a little too strict sometimes, but he was, like, very strict. And, like, I guess him, he is the main reason why I'm so tough and one of the reasons why I work as hard as I work, because I seen him bust his butt to provide for us. And my mom, too. She always was working really hard. And they told all of us, like, the second you turn 16, go find a job. And I did. And I haven't stopped working since I was 16.
Since you were 16, what was your first job?
I worked at Five Guys.
Out of Five Guys?
For 2 years.
Would you go back and eat there?
Absolutely not.
Why? You don't like it anymore?
Mm-hmm. Not that it's not bad. It's not like they're dirty or anything like that. They definitely 100% do shove extra fat in their food.
Really?
They do. One piece of cheese is 70 calories.
Oh, wow.
Like, just like their regular fries, over 1,000 calories. And their meat, it has extra fat on it. So, like, when you go to Five Guys and you see all that grease on that grill, it's coming straight from the patties. They didn't put nothing on the grill.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And their mayo on the label, it said extra fatty mayo.
Yeah. Extra fatty
mayo. When I looked at that, I was like, oh, hell no.
Oh,
and when it would sit, like, in the plastic container, like, where they have, like, you know, like, the deli section where, like, the lettuce and all that stuff was.
Yeah.
After it sitting out there, you would see, like, it would dry up on the edge of the plastic and it would just look like fat.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying?
That's, like, nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've only ate there once, and I honestly, I know Five Guys just because you get a bag full of fries. That's what everyone always says. But not my go-to. If I had to pick between Five Guys and Shake Shack, I would probably pick Shake Shack.
Shake Shack 100%.
Right?
Hell yeah.
I don't have enough Shake Shack in my life.
I haven't either, but the times I've had, it was
fire.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, it was good. So, yeah, you're definitely a super hard worker. You're definitely someone who works for her own. And I don't think you really try and depend on anyone ever. So that is really tough. It's crazy because usually the role for a woman is to just not be that independent and that hardworking, you know? Nowadays, a lot of us women are becoming that way.
Mm-hmm.
Where you just go out and get it on your own. Mm-hmm. And if you're home and your fridge breaks, like, you just have to figure it out on your own. You know, you have to find the contact. If you can't fix it, you are just the one that handles it all. And I spoke about this last episode with my girl Pam on how sometimes you don't want to be that girl.
I don't.
You know?
I really don't. Yeah.
Sometimes you want someone to just take care of it.
Especially being the youngest and a girl. I was spoiled in ways, but I was also taught, like, you know, yes, you could get whatever you want, but you still got to, like, do this on your own, too.
Yeah.
Like, my mom told me, don't ever depend on a man. Ever.
Yeah.
Even though she was a woman depending on a man. And I guess that's why she told me and my sister, like, don't depend on a man. Because she didn't want us to, like, be like her depending on a man.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want to depend on anybody, you know? But, like, sometimes I just want to, like, just sit there and, like, not do a damn thing, but still be okay.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, I want a man to take care of me. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want to be taken care of, you know?
Do you want a man to take care of you?
Yes, because I want to take care of a man.
Hell yeah. I mean, it's fine to say that.
I do and I don't. I don't want to say yes, I do, because I feel like there's always going to be part of me that, like, as nice as it is to know that, like, you'll be fine because of this great person, because it's going to be a great person taking care of me, not just anybody. But even though I would want that, like, I still want to be able to contribute, you know? I still want to be able to do things for him as well, you know? Like,
exactly.
Like, what if it's his birthday, you know? And I want to celebrate his birthday. It doesn't have to be a grand gesture, but, like, what if I want to buy him a cake and decorate for him and get him presents? And I don't have the funds for it because I sold it for light on him.
Or even if it is a grand gesture, you
know? Or even if
whether it's a little gesture or a great gesture, you just
whatever it is,
have it on your own and say, I'm going to go do that.
Exactly. You know, same for my friends too. Now, it doesn't have to even be for my man, but, like, let's say it's Yancy's birthday and I want to get Yancy a present, bring her a cake for her to blow out her candle. Like, I want to do that with my money, you know, same with like anybody in my life. Like, I just want to be able to do things for people with my money, not my husband or that man's money. Even though it'd be great. It'd be great. Some days it'll be great. Like, I want to go to Home Goods with his credit card, you know, but I want to buy Yancy's birthday cake with my card.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I definitely belong on your card.
Yes.
Okay, so what has been the hardest thing that you've ever had to push through? And you don't have to think about it too hard, even if it's the first little hard thing you can think of.
I don't know. What's the hardest thing I had to push through?
Yeah. What is one thing that has just hit you in your life that right now you can say, that was hard?
I mean, I could say I had a really rough year going through a breakup.
Okay.
I guess getting out of that relationship, you know, it was hard. But when it was happening, like, it felt good. And it hurt, but it felt good. But that was pretty hard because we lived together. And that was my first time living with a man. And, yeah, I guess that was pretty hard.
Yeah, that is pretty hard.
Having to be independent all over again, having to get your own, start over. Like, that's hard to do.
What is starting over like?
It's so great. It's so refreshing.
Yeah.
Everything is new. Everything smells new. You could do things your own way. I'm not just talking about, like, the things when I say, like, smell. Like, I don't, this might sound weird, but, like, smell comes in a big part. Like, smell is a big part of everyone's life. People don't really recognize that. Like,
of course it is.
Like, starting over, you no longer smell certain things. You start smelling new smells that just bring different type of happiness, different type of clarity, different type of, I don't even know, like.
Well, I think it's that our sensory part of our being registers those tastes, those smells, those things you may hear. Everything with our sensories, we register as a memory in our mind.
Yeah.
So when you every day smell, see, hear the same thing, and then you don't, and you can pick out a new scent for your new apartment, and your stuff just doesn't smell like them. Whatever, you know, people leave scents. You just,
yeah.
The house will smell like a certain something, and when you walk into that, it definitely is very free.
I love that.
It's like fresh, new air.
It's like freeing in a way.
It's gross.
After leaving a home that you shared with someone and not taking a damn thing with you, and then just like buying everything new, and like, this is your smell, just your smell. I mean, you could add new smells, and it was just, that was the best part of our starting over. And
yeah,
smell him again. Not that he smelled bad or anything like that, but it's just different, you know.
Yeah, it's not like an actual scent too.
It's just time. It was just very, it's freeing. It, the whole experience starting over and leaving was super freeing.
Yeah,
super
definitely
calm.
Pull through and a great way. It was rough. Some of it had rough patches, but then I was on the prize the whole time.
You were actually the one that was there that saw it right there.
Yeah.
You saw it raw.
Yeah, I did.
You saw me good. You saw me not good. You saw me crumbling. You saw me deteriorating and then coming back.
Yeah.
You saw it all. Yeah, I got my appetite again.
I know.
I didn't have it for a long time.
You know what is crazy to me? It just came into my mind. I think I put together something about us. So whenever you think about meeting new people, they say that it's very intentional. You know, life is going to bring positive people into your life with an intention. That's how everyone would like to see it. So when I came into your life, as much fun as we were having and as like refreshing it was to have this new friendship where you actually get along with each other, right? And
you're gonna make me cry.
It's okay to cry.
I already feel where you're going with this.
Do you really?
Kind of.
Well, I think that when you are constantly involved with other friendships, like, let's say you have other besties and you constantly talk to them about, like, the same person and what you're going through with that person. You almost can't crumble how you want to crumble in front of them because it's been an ongoing conversation for a certain amount of time that when you meet this person who is just something you never really thought you'd have in this point in your life. And, you know, because it wasn't just you. I was going through a transition myself, right? So I was going through my own thing, but we found each other. And it was like, I can break in front of this girl, you know? I can scream of anger of how I'm feeling. I can be happy. I can do whatever it is that I have to do in front of her. No judgment. She's brand new. She doesn't really know much about the whole thing. So it was just very refreshing.
It was.
You know?
I needed you.
Yeah. Same here.
And I had you. And it was fun. And I'm trying to go back to Hoboken and have pizza again.
Yeah, guys. Wait. Our first date was a Hoboken picnic date. And if you're not from North Jersey, then you honestly don't understand. But it is such a privilege to live by the city.
Hell yeah.
And to be able to just get a box of pizza, get some wine, have a vibe, look at the city, people watch, talk about life in some warm summer air. Incomparable.
And it was towards the end of summer, so it wasn't like super, super hot. Like, it was just perfect.
It was just perfect.
It was a great freaking night. And that pizza was...
That pizza was great. Our snacks were great. Our drinks.
Our music. We almost got attacked by... What are those things? By geese, bro.
We did.
They were literally about to eat us.
Ugh, that's the only negative part.
But no, we had a hero that night, though. That little boy.
He was so brave. There was a little boy with a family next to us. And he took it upon himself to go to war with those geese.
And he did. And when we would scream for him, he would come and save us.
Come and save us. And you know what? That's a real man.
He's a real man.
He is definitely a real man. Dang, I miss that guy. Oh, my gosh. What a cutie. All right, let's move on here. So what's a moment you realized just how resilient you are? What was a moment, whenever that moment happened, that just really made you think back and say, damn, I really pulled through. I really did that. And obviously, we could say the breakup is already one, right? What's another thing?
I think after having my surgery, I got the surgery about a year ago, and I had endometriosis, so I got the procedure to get it removed, and it was right after the breakup too, so it was kind of still kind of going through that too, but this was different because this was more physical, and I had no idea what the aftercare was, like what I did not know what to expect after this procedure because the way my doctor described it to me made it seem like I could go back to work in 2 days. So that's what I had in my head. Like, okay, I'll get this done and in 2 days, I'll go back to work. And it was not like that. I had to stay home for 2 weeks and I didn't completely fully heal for maybe like a month or two.
Oof.
Yeah. So, and I actually only stayed home from work 1 week and I went to work a week later, even though I still needed a week of rest, and I did it. And it was scary. And yeah, I think that's one of my moments. It's working when, like, being in physical pain. And, like, I work at a restaurant, so obviously. It's a tight bar. I literally go through crowds of people. Like, it'd be like sardines in there sometimes. In a movie, you're walking with, like, cuts in my stomach. And I didn't get hurt. I made it through, and I was fine. And I was like, God damn.
I can't even deal with that.
And the thing is, like, I had a lot of pressure in my uterus area because that's where I also got cut a little bit down there. And it was scary as hell, but I made it through every shift. And in that week flew by pretty fast, and then I was fine. Because it only takes 2 weeks for you to heal from the outside. So I did already 1 week at home, and then I did 1 week at work. Yeah, that was scary.
Bruh. hustler over here.
You gotta do what you gotta do. Pay gotta get paid. I mean, rent gotta get paid.
Paid gotta get paid for sure. Well, yeah, you're definitely a very hard worker. And honestly,
I trooped it out.
You're so strong, dude.
I trooped it out.
You're just a G.
Thank you.
Yeah. Can't tell Casey Nye, she a G. So, other than that, you are also a very person.
Thank you. I try.
So, what drives that?
To be caring?
Yeah, like, why are you so willing to just, you know, if your friends need you, you're there.
I guess as an adult, I really care about my friendships a lot. And I'm very loyal to my friends. And I don't like none of that fake shit. And I don't do none of that fake shit. And it could be because when I was younger, I had a hard time making friends. I used to go home from school crying every day to my mom. Michelle doesn't want to be my friend anymore.
Oh my God.
So I think from that, as a little girl, I had a hard time making friends and sticking with friends and making good friends. And I didn't actually start making actual good friends until maybe my junior year of high school. Even though I did meet my best friend when I was 9 years old. I actually met two of my best friends. Well, not one is not my best friend anymore, but two of my closest friends that were my friends for many, many years, I met them when I was 9.
Right. Okay.
But then, you know, growing up in high school, we were all into different things, going in different directions. Even though I remained friends with one of them, with the other one I didn't, because we just ended up becoming so different. But those were pretty much the only friends I kind of had growing up. And then when I tried to make other friends, it just didn't work. And I feel like now as an adult, I have a lot much more friends now. And I care about every single one of them, and I don't want any of my friendships to end. And I think that's why I care so much.
Okay.
Because I want them to stay.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you guys ain't going nowhere. You like it or not.
You're mine forever.
Literally.
So what advice would you give that little girl who was coming home every day and having a hard time making friends if she was right in front of you now?
To be patient. You're going to meet the right ones. That's it.
Okay.
Like, don't worry about these little girls. They're not for you right now.
Yeah.
That's it.
The real ones will come when it matters.
Mm-hmm. Be patient.
Be patient. That is one of the biggest lessons in life.
I feel like I've learned to be patient a lot.
Me too. Life has lifed me to the point where that is one of my only options sometimes, most of the time.
Yeah.
It's be patient.
I mean, there's going to be times where we're going to get a little impatient, but like when it comes to big things, just be patient.
Yeah.
Like there's no need to react anymore. Like just chill out.
I'm definitely such a less anxious person.
Me too.
In this present time.
Me freaking too.
And it shocks me sometimes.
I feel like my job really, really showed me how to be patient, because dealing with people when they're hungry and their food and their attitude and they're hangry, it's just like, you learn to just be like,
yeah,
like you're going to get your food. It's so good.
I know. Yeah. Being with the restaurant industry will...
Oh, you experienced it. You know what I'm talking about. Hell yeah.
Yeah. It teaches you everything. It paves the way. There's something about the way it molds you. Because I think dealing with food is so intimate.
Yeah.
You know, eating is an art. Food is an art. Just that whole part of us, that's how we fuel ourselves. But so much emotion comes from food. And it could be good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it could really... I could get into a deep conversation about how food is related to our minds, but whatever. That alone shows you a lot of different sides of people.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And it just, I don't know, man. If I think any great server is just untouchable.
That's me.
Yeah.
Untouchable.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because we just...
It's not the best job in the world, but it damn pays well, and I'm good at it.
You know, I hate the stigma that serving has on people. It looks so down upon.
Because everything is about a title nowadays. That's why. If you don't have a title of a nurse or a doctor or a lawyer or this or that, did you really make it? That's how it is nowadays. That's how society sees people. It's like, where's your title? And without that title, you're just regular. You're just whatever. You're not successful.
Yeah. I think people are just looking at it all the wrong ways.
For sure.
They look at it in the way that society wants you to look at it, which is, you know, who's the top dog? Who's really doing stuff in life?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I have met multiple doctors, multiple lawyers, multiple people at high levels. But when I think back at my best moments, I will always remember those people that just showed me a great time and great service. That's the first thing you could talk about. You're not going to sit here and talk about the lawyer you met. You're going to sit here and tell your friend where they need to go eat and why they need to go eat there and why that server, you know, gave you such a great experience that you will always remember that.
Mm-hmm.
You always remember that you have a spot where you trust your food, you trust your vibe, you trust bringing people there.
Yeah, servers literally.
It's so much more.
We give you guys a reassurance that it's okay to come here. Like,
yeah,
you're safe here with us. We will take care of you.
We literally take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think that's not something everyone can do.
Absolutely.
And dealing with people in the way that servers have to deal with people. And oh man, I my hat comes off. I freaking get on my knees and hallelujah to all the servers. Because listen, I always wanted to have a server job as extra money, especially in college. But the negative like outlook that it has, or the perspective or whatever it is, almost felt embarrassing. Like,
okay,
damn, I'm gonna be a server. And then I was a server. And I was like, how would I ever say that? This is hard. You know, this is not easy. I was working at medical offices, sitting at a desk all day. Mm-hmm. This is like 12 or more hours on your feet, moving around, getting hot, burning yourself, cutting yourself, like physical pain, mental pain. Just, you go through the ringer.
You really do, because it's mentally exhausting, physically exhausted, emotionally exhausting. It's all the type of exhausted.
It's all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So shout out to the servers. That's all I got to say. Shout out to the servers. And if we ever get to that point in life, you guys will find out where Casey works. We're not saying that today.
Mm-mm.
But
it's right there.
But yeah, if you know, you know.
Yep. If you know, you know. That's it.
Oh, no.
That's it.
That's really the spot. If it weren't for being out in the public, we would have shared. But it's okay. Life will find you there. Life will take you there.
It definitely will. It's a popular place.
It is a popular place here in North Jersey. All right, moving on. What's something about you that would surprise people?
How old I am. It surprises everybody all the time.
How old do they think you are?
Everyone always thinks that I'm like 20, 21. I've gone more like, all right, yeah, you look like you're 25, 26. I'm like, okay, I'll still take that.
Baby face.
Yep.
She really do got a baby face.
No one ever believes it. No one ever can guess it. Like, nowhere near. Like, no one ever guesses the number near.
So how old are you?
I'll be 30 years old next week.
How do you feel about that?
Like, I'm turning 30.
Third floor.
Literally.
Yeah. My girl Pam was on the last episode, as I've previously said, and she is 30. She hit 30 in September. So we definitely spoke about that and how she feels. Third floor. I'm so excited for when I turn 30. I just think 20s.
They suck.
20s is humbling. It's hard.
20 is 100% humbling. Because when you're in your 30s. Well, I'm not in my 30s yet. But yeah.
Like, yeah.
You know what I mean.
20s. 20s is the toddler stage of adulthood.
Literally. Yes. You literally said it just right. I agree 100%.
Yeah. Honestly, if I'm not mistaken, because I want to give credit to Pam, if this credit goes to her. But I think Pam said that last episode and I started dying. I think she may not have, and maybe I am that good. But Pam, if it was you, I give you credit, girl. But yeah, whoever said it, it's so true.
It's very true. Like, honestly. now that like you said it out loud, I'm thinking about it right now. I'm like, yo, like, that is very accurate. Like, yeah.
We're going to go out and...
I'm an adult now. Now I'm an adult at 30. Me in my 20s, I don't know that. Well, I don't know what...
That was not me. Not adulthood.
That was not adulthood. I was still a teenager in my 20s. Get out of here.
Literally. Oh, my gosh. Well, you're getting there. You're almost an adult, an official adult in just a few days. Do you have any plans?
Well, I feel the pressure of having to celebrate your big 3-0 big, like how everybody does. And I've never been the type to celebrate my own birthday that big. Like, I love a little celebration. Like, I like to keep a little. I kind of just wanted to just, like, you know, get some friends at my apartment pregame, take pictures, make it all cute, dress cute, and just hit a cool club in the city, because I actually don't really club like that. So I was thinking of doing something I don't normally do. I mean, I would have loved to take a trip, take a vacation, a 3-0 vacation, but just, you know, I just didn't plan, you know, accordingly, like how I should have. So I might take a trip in the near future to kind of celebrate my 30th like that on my own, maybe. But like for anything like on my actual birthday, I'll probably spend it with my family and my parents. Like I always do.
And yeah, same.
Weekend, maybe. I don't know yet. We'll hit a cool club in the city.
Oh my gosh, I know a good club in the city.
Do you know, like, where you can, like, shake your butt?
Yeah.
Ooh.
You want to shake your butt?
Oh,
can't do that now, girl.
Why not? Why can't I shake my butt?
Because you are a taken woman.
Yeah, I'm going to shake my butt on him.
Oh.
What do you mean?
I thought this was a girl thing.
No, this is a friend. No, it's not a girl's night. This is
my people night.
Yes. My siblings, my friends, anybody that wants to celebrate with me can come.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. What's something that makes you feel truly happy and at peace?
My damn self. And what brings the peace into my life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And make me happy. Drink some tea, girl.
I'm dying here. A little under the weather, guys. Oof. Sorry. You bring yourself happiness.
Yeah.
Has it always been this way?
For the most part. I mean, I can't really think too far back, like in my teen years, if I was the one making myself happy, because you're a kid, you know, things make you happy, people make you happy. But I feel like even in my 20s, even though, like, you know, like we said, 20s is your taller age or taller time, whatever you said, I feel like
stage of adult.
Yeah. Even when I was in my 20s, I feel like for the most part, like, I brought myself my own peace, my own happiness for the most part. Like, I always did my thing, you know? And I was always happy doing it. I didn't rely on other people ever to do things, to do what I want to do. If I wanted to go and have lunch by myself in my 20s, very young, I was able to do that. I never needed a company. I know how to be alone. I think that's why I could say, like, I bring my own happiness, because I could do that by myself.
That's true power, loving to be on your own.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
People are really scared of being alone.
I'm just starting to love that. I'll do a bunch of stuff alone now, actually do it alone, or go eat alone. And it's fire.
It's very peaceful. Just put your AirPods, enjoy your meal, read, I don't know, something, or just scroll on Instagram or whatever it is that you like to do on your phone, or just text your friends, whatever it is. It's great.
It is great.
It's very therapeutic for me. Like, yes. I will put my AirPods in and go to Target and have a blast.
Yep.
By my damn self. I love doing that.
You almost look forward to that.
I do.
Because you can just look at things you want to look at, not talk to people, not have to interact. Sometimes it's just so much better to not have to move your mouth.
Yeah. I could literally go all day and not say a word. And I've done it, like, living alone. Like, I would text my friends and be like, bro, you know what's so crazy? I haven't said a single word today. I mean, I will talk, because I do talk to my cats. Like, I'm always yelling at them, you know, or telling them to, like, come here, or it's feeding time. Like, I'll talk to my cats, you know? But, like, even then, still sometimes, like, it'll be just silence all day. No words.
Yeah. I think it's because, well, I think that people aren't alone enough because they don't want to feel uncomfortable. And that is a big problem across us all, is that we sometimes don't take initiative on something or do something we should be do more of because it will make us uncomfortable. The art of being uncomfortable is hard.
It is.
Yeah.
I have my times where I still will be a little uncomfortable, you know? But sometimes you just gotta get comfortable, uncomfortable.
Literally, no, you do. If you want to thrive, if you want to have any positive change in your life, you have to get uncomfortable. And I would feel uncomfortable going to restaurants like by myself, because I always go with a friend or I go with my family out to eat. And I love going out to eat. You know, I love trying different foods. But going in there alone just felt so out of this world. It felt alien-like. Like, what? People eat alone? And now? Yeah, people eat alone.
One thing I won't do alone is go to a bar alone. That's one thing I won't do. Like, I'll go to a bar, but I'll sit at a table or something. But then I will sit at an actual bar by myself as a woman. To me, in my opinion, it's just, I just can't. Like, it's just not a good look. Not that it matters what you look like, you know, like, screw everybody or whatever. But, like, I know that's something that, like, it just doesn't sit right with me. That's one thing I can't do alone. But anything else, just count me in. Me, myself, and I doing it. But at a bar seat, can't.
I would eat at a bar seat. I love eating at a bar for some reason.
Because bar food is good.
Bar food is good. I just like to have bar food at the actual bar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I want to have food, I want to go to dinner.
Yeah.
And it's just different.
I
don't know.
Say.
But I definitely can't. Right now, I can't go into a bar by myself.
Yeah.
I would love to, because around here, there's plenty of little bars. But I also don't drink like that.
Yeah.
And
that's the reason why I also, like, I'm not a heavy drinker like that either. So
yeah.
To sit at a bar, have one drink and food and then go, it's just like, it doesn't sound bad, but it just, like, I know that I wouldn't, like, like, when I do things alone, I technically don't do them quite alone. I do them with music. And when you walk into a bar and you're just sitting at a bar with your headphones and, like, it's just, I don't know, like, it's just.
It's different.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, whoever can do it, good for you, man.
Oh, I see a lot of them that do it.
Yeah. But I just can't. I'm also a woman in the sense of, if I go to a bar, I need to either be with one other person for just safety reasons.
Yeah, that's my main reason too, you know?
Yeah, just,
you're
you know.
You're easy prey at a bar alone as a woman. So you don't want to.
Unfortunately, exactly. Yeah. Hold on. I'm dying.
Oh, man. That's okay. I'll save you.
Okay, so have you ever had a moment where you realized staying in your comfort zone was holding you back?
Yes. That entire relationship.
Yes.
Because I thought that right away.
Yep.
Really? I was so comfortable being there with him that, like, I didn't do shit with myself.
Wow.
Nothing. I was just comfortable being his girlfriend. And, yeah,
And he would mention it sometimes too, like not mention it, but he would tell me, he was just like, you know, you got to stay out, you got to get out of your comfort zone, Casey. And like, and I agreed with him. He wasn't wrong in that, but I was actually having this conversation with a friend not too long ago. I'm not talking negative about my ex or anything like that, but he always had good intentions and always wanted the best for me. And I always saw that. But there was something about his energy. Not that he did this, you know, like he didn't purposely do anything. And I'm not blaming his being, but I am going to blame his energy. Not something he has entire control of, you know, but I felt like his energy. How do I say this? When I was with him, like, I had no motivation. I never wanted to do anything. And even though he tried to push me to be better, it's not like he was holding me back. There was just something about his energy that just wasn't sitting right with me, and I didn't know at the time. And now that I'm seeing it from, like, the outside, like, it was his energy. Like, he wanted me to dance with him so bad all the time because he's a big dancer. I couldn't do it. I go out and I dance now with my friends. And I'm not shy to, and I'm not scared to. And this person was the person I was with. I couldn't even do that. I couldn't even like shake my shoulders a little bit around him because I just couldn't. And, you know, and it's not that he was a bad energy or anything like that, but I felt like that since we just were never compatible. And because of us never being compatible, I was never able to let loose with him. Even though he would try to get me to let loose, I just was never able to. And it was probably that, like, that incompatibility that we had that just didn't let me.
Wow.
Yeah. That's sorry, so bro, but.
No, hey, you're not compatible with everyone. It just wasn't a match.
It wasn't.
And it taught you.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that you're able to analyze it like this now, it's just shows your growth from the actual situation.
Yeah, I just had this conversation with my girl, like, not to talk bad about him and make him seem like a bad person, because I don't think he's a bad person. But something about your energy, boy.
Just doesn't mess with your energy.
It didn't, no.
Yeah. Energy is a privilege and it's precious. And
don't waste it.
Yeah, hold it at high value.
Recognize if you can. The thing is, that's where it's rough, that like you don't recognize it when sometimes your energy isn't matching with somebody. You're just thinking, oh, it's just a little bad moment, or I'm just not feeling it today, or whatever it is. No, that's literally your body rejecting that person. That's literally your energy telling you, go.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't see it that way.
Your gut is always going to tell you when something is off, right? For me, I always take those signs as God talking to me. Okay. Like, the second I feel off, it is energy. Like, we're based off of energy. So at the end of the day, it's all energy. But it's always talking to you for a reason. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times we try to ignore certain things because we think that, like you said, it's just a passing moment. Like, it's something that will pass. It's something that's happening right now. But at the end of the day, we really have to realize that love should never be that hard. Yeah. And a lot of us grew up with moms who went through like ups and downs in their marriage growing up, right? So a lot of us, unfortunately, already know toxic relationships before we even start relationships ourselves. And we just try not to, like, we literally live the same life, but it's because it's so normal to us already that this is all, like, couples go through things. Like, yeah, couples go through things, but honestly, if that's really your person, it shouldn't feel like that, you know? Like, you should be able to click and disagree on things that come as you evolve, because we're constantly evolving. But if you never feel 100% you, and if you have those doubts, if you have those worries, it's not for you.
Just go.
Yeah, just go. And
go before you get in too deep, because then when you get in too deep, it just gets even harder to get out. Exactly. And I mean, I could say for myself, I saw my mom, she should have left my dad the first day, my biological father, I should say, the first day that he mistreated her.
I could say the same thing about my mom
You
too.
know, she should have left that first day, but she stuck around 14 years and just traumatized herself, you know, ruined herself, ruined her, the part of her that would help her moving forward in new relationships, or even relationships with in her own life, other that weren't intimate. But yeah, I don't know. I just think that it's really sad that a lot of us girls grow up on that. So we take so much of it, and then it feels like one too many stabs to the heart already. And it just sucks. I hate it. That's what I think about.
Don't stick with a man or a girl just because sometimes people think that, like, sticking around is you trying to fix it. You love this person, so you're going to work hard for it. Sometimes you just got to stop. You just got to go, because it's not for you. You never have to work for something that hard that truly loves you and that loves you back. It shouldn't have to be that hard, to be honest.
Yeah, it shouldn't have to be that hard.
There's going to be hard times, yes, people do go through hard times in relationships and stuff and whatever, but it shouldn't have to be that hard, in my
Exactly. I
opinion.
think if two people disagree on something and they properly communicate on the issue and they focus on the root of the issue rather than the emotional side of it, you can have a good conversation, you can probably get to a solution, but the behavior shouldn't keep at, like, continuing, you know? The behavior shouldn't be a thing that you still bring up 6 months later. If someone, like, the part of when you said, oh, staying around is you trying. No, staying around and trying is having that sit down conversation and saying, this is what's bothering me. How can we fix it, and how do you feel about it? And then you talk about it. But if you have your fear constantly having that conversation, you're just,
You're settling at that point.
yeah, it's a choice. Like my sister says, she'll be like, that's a choice. I'm like, okay, girl, way to call me out. But whatever. Moving along, how do you push yourself when fear or doubt creeps in?
I go to bed.
I just go to sleep.
That's kind of a little bit hard to answer right now because I haven't really been feeling those feelings at all lately.
Okay.
I haven't been feeling scared of much lately. And I guess that if I do feel fear, how do I push myself to what, to get past that fear, or to just overcome it? I don't know.
How, okay, let's say right now you feel fear. What's one thing you're afraid of?
The dark.
The dark.
Yeah.
Okay.
30 years old and scared of the dark.
It's okay. To each their own. So all these lights turn off right now and we're in this dark room. Are you gonna fear right away? Are you gonna feel scared?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
Like
And
my
how?
chest will get a little heavy.
Okay, so how do you work through that?
I'll have to flip the
How?
light switch and turn
And
that shit on.
okay, but you push yourself.
Yeah, I talk to myself in my head, like, okay, Casey, it's dark right now. Do not start thinking crazy things. There's nobody sitting on your couch right now. There's nobody in the corner. Okay. That black figure is just your jacket. Relax. So I do have these conversations in my head, because when I first moved into my apartment, it was an empty apartment. Even when I got furniture, it still seems empty because no one else is there. No one, I know that nobody else is there because it's just me and my cats. And my cats, they're, on their beds. And at the time, I wasn't leaving any lights on. And I would walk into my apartment in the dark and I would be very scared. And the first thing I would think of, because I'm a little dummy, but the first thing I would think of was, what if there's someone just sitting on my couch waiting for me? Or like, what if there's someone just standing in my kitchen as soon as I open my door? So for that reason, I don't ever leave lights off. There's always at least one little light on or two little lights on. Because I do not like walking into a dark apartment. It freaks me out. Because my mind just runs to the scariest thing. Yeah. And then when I am in a moment where I'm in a dark place, I do have to kind of talk to myself like, that's nothing. That's nothing. It's nothing. Just go look for the light switch.
What do you think is going to come get you?
I don't know. That dark figure that I just made up in my head.
Really?
Yeah, I still think. And at work, my boss, Mike, he knows that I'm scared of dark. So whenever he catches me in the closet, he shuts the light, closes the door on me, and I freak out. And he just cracks up. And I literally get hot. Like, I literally panic a little bit. I'm really scared of the dark.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How do I overcome that? I don't know. I'm 30 years old and I still haven't been able to.
Do you sleep in the dark?
I do. But my bedroom door is always open and I always leave a light on all night. Also because of my cats. I feel bad for them.
Okay.
So there's always a little bit of light somewhere.
So, all right. That's crazy. I didn't know you were that afraid of the dark.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like the dark, but I mean, I don't know.
I could deal with the dark, but there has to just be, like, if there's like a little dimmed light, I'm okay. But when it's like completely dark, I'm not okay.
Not okay.
Uh-uh. I need to see some light in some corner to be okay. But if it's dark, dark, hell no.
Okay, I will never turn the lights off on you. That is really wild. Last three questions. What's something simple that anyone can do today to start stepping out of their comfort zone?
What is something so simple people could start doing today to get out of their comfort zone?
Yeah. What is one thing to those listening that they could do to get uncomfortable tomorrow?
No, I don't really be thinking about anybody else.
Well, here we do. I'll go first. I think one thing that I could say is think about something that you've wanted to do but just hasn't worked out because no one has came through with plans or whatever, and just go do it. That's my first thing. So if your thing is you've been wanting to go to the movies to see a movie, but your friends are too busy, go tomorrow. Pick a show and go watch it. Just go. Just go. That's mine.
Fuck. I don't know. I have no idea what to tell people.
You have no idea what to tell people?
Because I'm trying to think for myself. I'm trying to think right now, like, what is something that is so hard for me to do? Kind of like me, because it could be something that someone could relate to. And lately, I've just been trying my best to get out of my comfort zone.
How?
By just doing it. I didn't like to dance. Guess what? I'm going to go dance with my friends, you know, because I'm comfortable with them, you know. I could do that, you know, and in my head, I tell myself, just dance like nobody's watching. You know, everybody always says that. I literally just do that now.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I do still have my moments where I do get a little shy sometimes because I don't know that person that wants to try dancing with me. And also, I'm at work when people try asking me to dance. But I guess that could be one. You know, if you want to go dance and you're too scared to dance because you're scared that you're going to look stupid, just do it. You know?
Yeah.
Or go to the gym. Stop being scared of the gym. I know a lot of friends that don't go to the gym because they're so scared of looking stupid that their form isn't going to be right. Well, just teach yourself, you know, keep doing it. Look at TikToks, whatever. I personally had that struggle and I found the gym that I go to now, which I haven't really been going to and I really need to start going to, but whatever. This gym, I am so comfortable there that like I can literally do arm workouts next to this broad-ass guy and not feel intimidated. Because I was just like, you know what? If I want to pick up these weights, the only way that I'm going to do is by picking them up. Like, why am I going to be so scared if someone watches me pick up a weight? What are they going to do to me? Nothing. I'm an adult. I could do whatever I want, whenever I want. and no one can do actually nothing to me. At the end of the day, you are and you aren't, but you're kind of unstoppable if you really think about it. You could literally do whatever you want. There's nothing for you to be scared of.
We are unstoppable.
We are.
You just have to lock into that part of you to really feel it.
Just do it.
Yeah, just do it. It's so true when they say that you have to, you know, when people give you advice through life and they say, worry about yourself. You are whatever you say you are. You can do whatever you set your mind to. You literally can. As cliche as all of those captions are, it's so true.
It 100% is. I agree. Just do it.
Just do it.
I feel like I've been doing that lately. I just do it.
Yeah.
I say this a lot, and I mentioned it just now too. Like, what are they going to do to you when you do that thing you want to do? Who are you scared that's stopping you? Like, what are you scared of? Like, are you scared that person's going to laugh at you? Okay, so what if they laugh? Laugh back at them, you know? Or you might not even see when someone's laughing at you. Or no one might even be laughing at you. And it's just in your head, you know? Because when you go to the gym and you actually look around and pay attention to what people are doing, nobody's looking at you. Nobody cares about you. They're there for them. So be there for you, you know?
Preach.
And that's it.
Literally.
Like, I kind of been going through a little bit of stuff at work where, like, people lie. I notice people lie. And to me, lying doesn't make sense because you're an adult. What are you scared of? No one's going to hit you. No one's going to do anything to you. You're not going to get into trouble. Just be honest. Everybody will appreciate that so much more. And that's just, it comes with like everything, you know, like there's nothing to be scared of. That's it. If you're scared of going back to school, just go, Casey.
Preach. Listen, I wasn't going to say it, but I'm glad somebody did. Yo rendí. I'm like, she going to do it when she really want to do it.
That's one thing, too.
Yeah.
Everyone got their own pace.
Yeah.
And they'll do it. I'll do it eventually.
It's not a race, but as long as you do it. I think fear holds us back a lot. Which is such a shame. Honestly, I think we are taught just all the wrong things growing up. I think school, as beneficial as it was, there needs to be a course throughout our life on just dealing with life, things about life.
I don't think school will ever do that.
I know, but that's the problem, you know? Like, school is based on just books and things that people have said we needed to learn in our young life. But that needs to evolve. And if I had the types of conversations that I have now with adults when I was in school, I don't know. People would just excel so much sooner. This world would be better. Because the problem is that we are just too in our heads. Mm. It's like we need to be taught from an early age how to not give a damn and just do you.
I feel like they don't want to install that into kids right away because like their primary thing is to make sure that these kids just get through school with good grades. If you tell a kid don't go and don't give a damn, they're gonna go and not give a damn. And they don't want to put that in their heads because they want them to give a damn. Like they want to make sure these kids' priority is school. And if you really think about it, you think these kids' priorities are going to be school? No. Well, they're not going to care about that. They're going to be like, well, if my teacher tells me to do whatever the hell I want, I'm going to go do whatever the hell I want. So I feel like that's the reason why schools will never implant something like that. Because they want to implant that your priority right now is getting through this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think I get the importance of, obviously, you can't tell a child that, but I have to mentally train my brother. And that's a very hard job because at school, he's learning what he's learning, but he's also an athlete and he deals with his emotions a lot, right? Like in a game, when things are up there in a game and emotions are running high and you can't focus and you're just all over the place and you're anxious and you want to cry and scream and all this stuff, because I watch them go through it all the time. I have to mold him and tell him about control of emotions and, you know, breathing and all that stuff. But not everyone has that in their house, right? Like, yeah. Not every kid is going to come home to those kinds of conversations. Some kids will probably be like, why are you crying? You know, like, get over yourself. Who, you don't know how parents are talking to their children.
Mm-hmm.
But I know what I provide for him. And I just wish that, I wish that they had mentors like that growing up. And I never really had that. Like, as aside from me being the oldest, I never had, and to those that did, it was probably coaches or just like a really cool teacher that they had, or maybe their guidance counselor was just up in the vibes like that. But I never had a solid mentor that would have taught me everything that I've learned so far, like getting into adulthood. It's just like everything I say here and I ponder and I just say, wow, we didn't know what we were getting into.
That's actually the struggle of being the oldest too.
Yeah.
Because I'm the youngest. So I've seen my siblings struggle through everything you just mentioned. And they taught me and showed me, or well, they did and I made sure not to do, you know, like I learned from their mistakes and I didn't do them, you know. And my sister mainly is the one who taught me and shows me and tells me, you know, I got to do this, I got to do that, I can't do this, I got to react like this, you know, because she's already, you know, gone through it. But who taught her? She taught herself that. So, yeah, and so it's, like you said, it's a hard job for you because this is something that you learned on your own and you're trying to implant it on your younger sibling.
Yeah. It's not. It's
and he's lucky to have you because I'm lucky to have my siblings. Honestly, the luckiest child is always the youngest. Always.
Yeah, I know.
Me and Jaden are lucky.
That guy. I love that guy. Everyone knows it. But it's just it's sad. It's sad to see how broken a lot of people are nowadays. And
it is.
There's a lot of help out there. People need a lot of help. And the economy and the space that we're living in and the current everything that's going on doesn't make it any better.
It does not.
You know? So, anywho, did you have fun today?
I did. The nervousness went away pretty quickly.
Really?
It did.
Okay. When did it go away? Do you remember?
By like the third question.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. You locked in.
I was just like, all right, this is flowing. This is going. I can do this.
All right.
Nerves went away.
Yeah. It's just a conversation.
That literally.
That's all it is.
It is. I guess it's just like seeing the material and like everything. And it's just like the mics. Like it feels like we're doing something. But
yeah.
And we are. Not saying that we're not, because we definitely are. Okay. But we're doing it differently, you know?
Yeah. My, like I said, I'm under the weather and I'm really going through it right now.
Yeah. She needs to go to sleep.
I need to pop medicine and literally knock out.
But you were sounding good before.
I was. I think I've just been talking nonstop for a repetitive amount or a consistent amount. I can't even think. I'm dying here.
It's time for you to unthink and get some rest.
But before we close out this episode, I just want to say thank you for taking the drive here, spending time with me. I haven't seen you in a while, and I love this state that you're in. You're so healed. You're so healed.
I do feel it too.
Yeah, that's awesome. Mm. But you got there.
Hell yeah. You'll get there if you're healing.
Yeah, if you're in your journey. Wow. I'm really going through it. Okay.
You're going to heal too. Don't worry.
If you're, please, I need to heal. If you're in your journey, yes, it will get better. Just lock in on you. And remember that no one's got you like you got you. Literally.
Take care of yourself because you're all you got.
You're all you got. And when you feel good,
you do good.
You do good.
especially when you look good.
Mm-hmm.
So just chase that goodness in your life.
Go get uncomfortable. Work hard. Don't be scared.
Yeah.
No one's going to do anything to you.
I'm having the hardest time here.
Yeah.
hold on, let me focus.
She's really going through it, guys. This keeps getting seen in her prayers.
Oof. It's crazy when you got to work under these conditions. All right, well, yeah, this is my friend Casey. This was a pleasure. I hope that you guys enjoyed this conversation. Please expect to hear more often. Do you accept my invitation when you'll be back?
Of course.
Amazing. And say happy birthday. She can't hear you, but say it because her birthday's coming up and it's a big one.
Oh my God. I just realized it's not even a week away. It's days away.
Days away.
I think it's like 3 days away, 4 days away. Oh man.
What's today, the second?
It's 3 days away. Yeah. Oh my God.
How did I really a year?
I don't know, but it's good to see another year.
It is good to see another year, a healthy year, a positive year, and I hope nothing but the absolute most magical, beautiful moments this year for you and moving forward.
There's going to be a lot of good moments.
Yeah.
I can feel it.
I know. Right? When you feel it, that's when you know.
Mm-hmm.
We shall speak on our weekend trip. I had proposed, I don't know when I said it, but about going to Mexico for a weekend.
Yes, you did. That's got to happen. It's going to happen. We're putting it out there.
Yeah.
The universe knows that trip has to happen, so
yeah,
it's going to bring it to us.
That's how we got to celebrate.
Hell yeah.
3-0. For sure.
For sure.
Well, thank you. I love you.
I love you more.
Thank you for her. For coming into my life. Literally done. And yeah, guys, I hope you enjoyed it. Have a great week. Stay safe. Remember that I love you very much. And I appreciate you taking the time to listen to this beautiful situation we got going on here. Sorry, I was going to cough. All right, I'm leaving you because I'm dying.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.